is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Come on, help me bless the Lord in this place. Now, that's good enough for you. I said bless the Lord in this place. Glory to God. Glory to God. We greet you in divine love in a name that is unlike any other name. In the name of Jesus, we greet you today and wish you all good morning. We praise God for this opportunity, for this privilege to be in His house. It's good to be in church on a Sunday morning. Amen. We are glad to be here today in the house of God. So many other places that we could be and probably should be, but God's grace and mercy has allowed us this privilege, unlike any other, is to come into His house and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. To all of our ministers and to our ministry leaders and all of you, my Father's children, we greet you and thank you for worshiping today. All of our visitors, family, and friends, all of you. Hey, amen. Just see this morning in the house of God. Amen. There is a word from the Lord that we've been assigned to share with you today. The gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 14, very familiar passage of scripture. I'm already prepared to get myself in a world of trouble.
That's all, you're in trouble
all day, and I have labored with God 2 weeks about this message, because we tend to vary for some reason we don't think that word goes forth, we don't think that's God speaking.
Amen,
we think that's the person speaking.
Amen.
Immature, finite thinking. We start to think that somebody throwing off or whatever the case may be. But I'd rather be in trouble with y'all than be in trouble with the Lord. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Kind of a different spin, so all you Bible scholars, y'all gonna have to excuse me today and pray for me. As we look at the Word of God from a different lens, from a different viewpoint, vantage point, still God's Word, yet and still. St. Matthew chapter 14, commencing at verse number 22. St. Matthew chapter 14, commencing at verse number 22. You find it, say amen.
Amen.
If you hadn't found it, don't say nothing. We're going to move on. In Matthew chapter 14, commencing at verse number 22, ask that all who are physically able will stand with us for a reading of God's word. And the scripture reads thusly, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him into the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Blessed are those who read here and apply God's holy word. gave you a disclaimer from the beginning at the onset that it's going to be kind of a different manner of looking at this text. So journey with me again, if you would, to St. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. And straightway, love constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before love unto the other side, while love sent the multitudes away. And when love had sent the multitudes away, love went into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, love was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, love went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw love walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway love spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered love and said, "Love, if it be you, bid me come unto thee on the water." And love said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to love. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Love, save me." And immediately love stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And they were in the ship, came and worshiped love, saying, "Of a truth thou art the Son of God." I want to tag this text, "Lord, teach us how to love." Lord, teach us how to love. We're in this season where we celebrated just 2 days ago, the natural sense, celebrate a day that we designated to celebrate love, but truth of the matter is we ought to always celebrate the goodness of God and his love every day. Every day we are basking in, embracing, enjoying love that comes from God. You don't need candy, you don't need flowers and roses or gifts to show you, to tell you that God loves you. Because candy rots, candy gets stale, flowers are going to wilt, gifts are going to devalue, but God's love for you and I is eternal. When I ever cease, will always be strong, will always be rich. And I find us today, brothers and sisters, as we journey to sharing this word on today, that we need to deal with this issue called love. Because many of us have not quite figured out how to love and how to receive love. There are two aspects of love, brothers and sisters, that we've got to learn how to give love, and then we've got to learn how to receive love. Some of us, brothers and sisters, won't let folks love us. Some of us don't accept or appreciate yet the love that God has for us. And so in order to do, to be the very best you and I can be, we've got to understand God's love and what love can do. Understand now that love is an action word. Love is not just some idea of thrown out of the sky. Love, brothers and sisters, is action. Love will be shown. Love will be exhibited. Love will be demonstrated in some way, shape, form, or fashion. But the problem is that we've allowed other mediums. We've allowed other forms of communication show us. We've allowed what we've seen on social media. We've allowed what people have told us. We've allowed what mama said. We've allowed what daddy said to show us and tell us what love is. And so you got to understand that the love we're talking about today is the love of God, agape love. Not talking about filial love or the love of a brother. We're not talking about eros love, the love that you got for bae or boo. Not talking about storge love, the love you got when it's mama and son and daughter. And we're talking about the love of God. And then when you and I can appreciate and get a grasp on the love of God, then we can handle boo or bae. Then we can handle mama and daddy. Then we can handle our brothers and sisters. But so often we're so focused on every other kind of love. And then without the love of God, it withers away. It loses its luster. It loses what it has. It loses its value because we really don't know what love is. Love is not a feeling, ladies and gentlemen, because sometimes you don't feel it. You don't always feel like you're in love with your husband or your wife. You look at them sometime and wonder, what kind of monster is that I just married? Who is this I just gave my life to? Who is this I committed and stood in front of a preacher and lied and stood in front of the world and lied to? Who is this creature? You don't always feel love. Love sometimes has to tell you the truth. Love is not those who are always telling you what you want to hear. And oftentimes, if we don't understand God's love, we will think that people who agree with us are the ones who love us, and the ones who tell us the truth about ourselves are the ones who don't love us. We don't want people to tell us the truth. We don't want people to tell us that we're wrong. We don't want people to tell us that we can do better, because we feel like that's not love. Because we want people to think that if you love me, you'll accept me as I am. But understand this, brothers and sisters, that the love God has for you and I transcends every emotion. It transcends every force. It transcends every issue known to mankind. But you and I got to understand that God does love you like you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay in the shape that you're in. He loves you too much to let you stay in sin. He loves you too much to let you stay miserable. He loves you too much to let you be out there. He loves you too much to let you live in darkness. He loves you too much to have you lying. He loves you too much not to challenge you. He loves you too much not to tell you about yourself. And you gotta stop thinking just because God tell you the truth that he doesn't love you. And then you gotta stop thinking that everybody that's telling you what you want to hear really loves you. Because some folk are sweet talking you to get to you. Some people are sweet talking you and telling what you want to hear because they know what you have to offer. And if you're going to base everything, here it is, y'all. Get me in trouble, Lord. Get me in there. You think that you're loved because you got candy. And then you think you're not loved because you didn't get candy. But your bill's getting paid. You got lights coming on every day of your week. You got a roof over your head. And you mean to tell me somebody don't love you because you ain't got a piece of candy, because you didn't get a Kit Kat bar, because you didn't get a flower? You going to get mad, and you going to come to church this morning with your mouth stuck out and your chest stuck out, and you mad as hell because you ain't getting no candy. But you got a roof. You got clothes on your back. You got food on the table. You got people in your life, but you in your feelings. And let me upset your theology. Let me upset your theology. There's some of these folks you think you want to be like, you don't know what kind of hell they're dealing with at home. You think that's because they're grinning on Facebook, that's what you want your life to be. You don't know how many times he done tagged her head. You don't know what she had to go through to get to dinner. She had to pay for that herself. She fronting for y'all because you keep believing it. You think, well, that's what love is, but love ain't no steak. Love is when you ain't got nothing but bologna and you can enjoy each other. Love ain't when you can go to the restaurant. Love is when you got a pot to pee in and a window to throw it out of and you still giving God your life. And we gotta grow up, church. We gotta grow up, church. God tells us we gotta grow up. You gotta stop basing your walk with him behind one day of the year. And God said, I woke you up on the 13th. I woke you up on the 15th. I woke you up on the 16th. And you gonna not give up on me because you ain't gonna place a post? You ain't got nothing to show the world? Let me tell you something, real love, you ain't got to tell everybody your business. I ain't got time. I'm with my love. I ain't got time to be proving a point to y'all. I don't care what y'all know about my business. No, y'all want to brag because it ain't got nothing to it. We got this empty stuff. It's empty love. It's like eating a lot of junk food. It's empty calories. It ain't got no substance. Because them folk that you jealous of, he ain't been home since. And so we need the Lord, even his children, got to learn about love. What love is, what love is not, what love can do, what love does for us every day of your life. And if you really appreciated God and you really appreciated God's love, you wouldn't even need me. I wouldn't even have a chance to preach because you would be so grateful to be in God's house.
You'd be turning over your pew. If you knew how much God loved you in spite of the stuff you done pulled, in spite of the stuff you done said, in spite of the stuff you done, and he's still letting you breathe his air, still letting you drink his water, still giving you food, still giving you shelter, still giving you a job, still taking care of you, still healing your body, still healing your mind, taking care of your mother, taking care of your father, he's taking care of your children, he's giving you every day, and you mean to tell me? So we got to understand, because we really don't get love. Because we really got love, your mouth wouldn't be stuck out right now. If you really understood love, you wouldn't be in your feelings right now. I'm in trouble already, Bruce. You got to help me, man. Because we think that's all love is, something to prove to people. But what about when you with the quiet, private moments? When love was there for you. The World Wide Web may not have seen it, but love showed up to you and rocked you to sleep at night. Love gave you some sanity. Love comforted you. And so Jesus teaches this lesson to his disciples in Matthew 14. Because at this point in chapter 14, Jesus already fed 5,000. And folks are following Jesus, not because they love him, but because of what he can do for them. And he's called his disciples to be more than followers because of what he can do for you. He's called you and I and his disciples in the text to really learn him as love. Brothers and sisters, you don't hear anything else I tell you. A love that can't be tested cannot be trusted. And love will allow you and I to go through some tests because you and I are conditioned to think because of human nature that the only way you know God loves you is when he's feeding you like he fed this multitude. And that's a real shady, that's a half-hearted, that's a real incorrect, incomplete way to look at God. And that's why many of us fall away from God when I'm broke. I fall away from God when I'm divorced. Fall away from God when I'm sick. Fall away from God when I'm a widow. Fall away from God when it didn't go my way. Because we are conditioned to believe that love is getting what you want and getting what you need. And when you speak it, it comes to pass. Name it and claim it. Blab it and grab it. Call it and haul it. That's what you ought to be able to do if God loves you so much. That when God loves me, everything I say will come to pass. But God's desire is to develop us and grow us up in a walk with him. That even in the valley, he still loves me. Even in the hospital bed, he still loves me. Even in divorce court, he still loves me. Even in bankruptcy row, he still loves me. Even when I don't get the job, he still loves me. Even when I lose all tangible goods, he still loves me. The reason you ain't shouted yet, because you don't get it yet, because you keep thinking it's when you get what you want. Now, if you really knew God's love, you wouldn't need money to shout. If you really knew God's love, you wouldn't need everything going right to give him glory. If you really knew what I know about God's love, you don't need to be healthy to say hallelujah. I wish I had somebody help me. When you really know the love of God, you don't need everything to be the way you want it to be to give him what you can give him. All I need is space and opportunity. So he's going to develop his disciples here. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He tells them, because see, in Matthew chapter 8, they've already gone through a storm. So they think they are already good disciples. They think they got it. I got this life thing figured out. But the problem with that storm was Jesus was in the ship with them, sleeping. And they tried to wake him up and ask him, do he care? He said, why are y'all messing up my sleep? You should have been asleep while I was asleep. Peace be still. And the storm ceased. But they think they know what it's like to go through stuff because he in the ship with them. But I told you, he's trying to develop you and I and show us love. And you've got to learn how to accept God's love even when it don't look like you got God's love. You got to know God love you when people laughing at your life. You got to know God love you when according to what people's eyes look like, it don't look like you ought to have it together. It look like you getting messed up. It look like you're getting left out. It look like you ought to be ridiculed. So he says, I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to send my disciples in a storm. And I'm going to send them on over to the other side. I'm getting them away from everything else. And I'm going to send them through a storm. Now, to me, y'all, that don't sound like love. Can I be just a person for a minute? Can I be a human for a minute? That don't sound like love to me. Because why would love love me so much and send me through a storm? If he loved me that much, why would he put me through that? Why would he allow me to go through that? Because love is supposed to be sweet. Love is supposed to be pain-free. Love is supposed to be without any kind of hiccups. It's not supposed to be like that. I saw Leave It to Beaver, and I saw Wally and June, and they had the Wally and the Beeve, and they had a nice house and a picket fence, and golly gee wish, it ought to be like that. It shouldn't be all this issue. Shouldn't be all this struggling if he really loves me. Because there are two types of storms. There are storms of correction. Ask Jonah. There's some storms he'll send when you don't want to do right. Now, that is up to you whether or not you're in a storm of correction. Now, if you're hard-headed and stubborn, you're probably in a storm of correction because you won't do what God say do. Now, that ain't life or the world's fault that you hard-headed. You won't do what God say do. And then you wonder why stuff don't happen for you. Because you won't do what God say do. And so he will allow you some storms of correction. But this storm I'm referring to, he's trying to show us love, is a storm of perfection. Where he's trying to make you and I better. And he wants us to understand this. That you have an assignment to your life. And your assignment, oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Your assignment goes far beyond how you feel. That tasted good. I'm going to say that again. That the assignment, the purpose for your life goes well above how you feel. So he's going to show you his love in all circumstances so that you can never deny that he loves you. Because of the broad scope of it, when it comes to your walk with God, he don't care anything about how you feel. He doesn't. He doesn't care how you feel. And so you kind of stop pouting with God because you're in a storm. You ought to be praising God that he got you in one. If you really understood that, you'd be giving him glory right now. That maybe I'm going through hell because heaven's on the way. Maybe I'm going through an attack because I'm about to advance. Maybe I'm going through pain because I'm going to be promoted. But if you don't give him glory and you don't trust the process, you're going to miss out on your promise. Can somebody learn how to tell God, Lord, I thank you for my thorn. I thank you for the storm. Thank you for every lesson because this too shall pass. Can I prove that to you? That these disciples would one day be apostles. Amen. Missed it. They're disciples now, but in Acts chapter 2, they're going to be apostles. So if you can't handle rain, you can't handle people. If you can't handle wind, you can't handle witches. Don't ask God to increase your territory, and you don't want to deal with what comes with the territory. Lord have mercy. All right. What does love do? What does love do? And I think we all can agree that Jesus is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus even told us that the greatest commandment that we love one another. John tells us that God is love. that everyone born of God knows love and knows God. So love, we agree. Can we all agree that Jesus is love? I don't need Lionel Richie to tell me that, but the Bible tells me that Jesus is love. So look, what does love do? What are some lessons I can learn from love about love so I can love? That'll preach by itself, won't it? Some lessons about love so I can learn how to love and receive the love. Here's what love does. Number one, what love does, love shifts. True love from God shifts us. We kind of gave that to you in the introduction because he says he constrained his disciples to get into a boat. You can't stay here celebrating good stuff. You can't celebrate miracles and never get a message. Missed it. Your walk with God can't just be about miracles. Your walk with God has got to be about some message. Listen, candy, flowers, roses, honey buns, and champagne, and other stuff y'all drink, all these things are symbols of love. Those are signs, maybe, but it doesn't have substance because anybody can buy it.
Amen.
Y'all miss God. But what's going to come along with it?
All right. Let me see. I ain't got in trouble again. But I feel pretty good and my help done got here.
Signs without substance get us in trouble. Because a true show of love doesn't require you to do something in return. Now, some of us Friday night, because you got some signs, you had to give some other sign yourself. Do I really need to go any further? But if it's real love, it comes with the only strings attached are the ones from God's heart. Whereas he knows you ain't gonna stay with him, and he still blesses you. He know you ain't gonna read his word, and he still, y'all can say amen if you want to, and he still gives you a brand new day. Ain't that right? See, y'all keep thinking about a man or a woman. I'm trying to tell you about Jesus. And that's why we can't get it, because we hung up. Let me tell you something. You won't appreciate, Lord, hold your boy. You won't appreciate horizontal love till you understand vertical love. Woo! You can't get this in laying down until you learn how to kneel down. Lord. Because God's desire, sisters, is for you to get off your back and get on your feet. And when you learn how to get on your feet, you ain't got to get on your back to so much stuff. And God's desire, when you love God and receive God's love, you ain't got to get on your back to receive love. You can be on your feet and still receive love. And if he can't handle you being on your feet, don't get on your back. Love shifts us. It shifts us from a place of this little limited view we have of God. That he's going to shift it. That if he can't be testing you, he can't trust you. I need to know, I know you love me, God says, when I'm around. But can I trust you to still love me even though I send you away? Because some of us, see, it's tough on a Sunday morning. Because all of us love God now. Everybody know how to lift their hand in church. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good to see you. I love you, my brother. I love you, my sister. God bless you. Hallelujah. Shabbat. You can do that in church. But in the morning. when the church ain't watching? Hey. When the church ain't watching, can you still say, good morning? Hallelujah. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I bless you. You know why some of us waste all our time and run out of gas in church? Because you ain't done it all week. You ain't prayed all week. That's why you want to take up 2 hours now and pray. Because you ain't prayed all week. So he's going to shift it. He says, get in that ship, get in that boat, and I'll meet you on the other side. And he sends them out, and they're going on nothing but his word. Y'all missed it. They're going on no assurity, no certainty. Some of us won't trust God, won't trust people till we find out how it's going to end up. But you missed the blessing in the midst of the promise. Because he told them, go to the other side. Missed it. Come back to y'all. He told them to get in the boat and go to the other side. But they go into a storm. But Jesus told them, you're going to the other side. Come back to y'all because they slow too. He says that get in the boat. Y'all, you and I know it's a storm waiting on them. But he told them, before they got in the storm, you're going to the other side. They're starting to get it. I'm going to let y'all join in now. Jesus said to his disciples that get in the boat. It's a storm you don't know nothing about that's coming, but you still got to go to the other side. And the fact that he told you that you're going to the other side, don't matter how big the storm is, if he say you're going to go over, you're going over. If he say you're going to make it, you're going to make it. If he say you're coming out, you're coming out. And when you start appreciating that I'm going to come out one day, that I'm going to cross over one day, it don't matter as much what I got to go through, because everything I go through going to prepare me for what I see when I come out. Look. So he's got to shift you. Because if he were to tell you, you got to go through a storm, you wouldn't get in the boat. And that's why he don't give us details. Because if he gave you details about what you got to go through, you wouldn't get in the boat. But what he did tell you is the end before you got to the beginning. And at the beginning, he told you about the end before you got to the middle. So by the time you get to the middle, you can trust the end because of what you heard in the beginning. Lord, have mercy. When I get to the middle of it, what's going to hold me? What he told me in the beginning. And relationships, y'all, are not always rosy. That's why when you get married, the wedding is for people. The marriage is for y'all. Yeah, amen. Pastoring is such hard work. When you get married, the wedding is for the photographer, for the junior groomsmen, for the candlelighters, for the sand ceremony, because everything look good at the wedding. She got her face beat for the wedding. Monday morning, her face is beat, but not the same way it was beat Saturday. He showered Saturday. Monday morning, he ain't showered since Saturday. Because the wedding is for people. So that you can stand before God and man and make these vows. And most of us put more emphasis on the wedding than we do the marriage. Because at the beginning, you see everybody around. And everybody supporting. and everybody grinning, and everybody taking pictures, and you got cake in the freezer. And 6 months later, ain't nothing been added to the freezer since the cake. We ain't been grocery shopping, but we still got that cake sitting up there. Oh, say amen, somebody. That's not what love is, not for people. The marriage is for y'all. And you and God come into covenant is for you and God. Your walk with God ain't for people. Because there's some things that you and God got to go through that people ain't going to see. They just going to see the result. They ain't going to see the process. They ain't gonna see, all they see is you, God, when God brought you out. They didn't see your storm. They didn't see the winds blowing. They didn't see you struggling. They didn't see that your knees are hurting. Your knees are scarred from being on your knees praying to him. They ain't seen that you got scars all over your heart from the daggers that people tried to throw and gave you some strength. They just see how you came out. And oftentimes we be wanting people's results and not their process. Because she married him a boy. He grew to be a man by the grace of God. But when she first got him, he was a wild boy. Y'all don't want to talk. Y'all don't want to talk. But when I came to church Sunday, we looked like, wow, I want that kind of marriage. No, you don't. Do you know the fool she going home with? Do you know the nutcake he done got hooked up with? They just look so cute together because they got mirrors. And y'all jealous over something that you don't really need to be jealous of. Because if some of us would tell the truth, y'all, we've been better off just going to a justice of the peace. Instead of getting in front of people lying. Oh, Lord. I need to learn about love. And I can't base it on a biological clock. And a lot of us done made some bad decisions behind our clock. Because mom and them told you, you better hurry up and get some beans in the oven. Well, mom, that's how come your stove keep getting repaired. That's why I got 6 stepdaddies, because you couldn't wait. Because you letting people putting pressure on you to do something that you're not mature enough here and ain't able to receive. No, good and well, some of us ain't ready for that. But because you're at a certain age, you don't want nobody labeling you. You take a plunge. I witnessed a wedding one time that blew my mind. That when the groom was asked, do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife? And this man looked the preacher and I said, I guess so. When you get to saying stuff like that, maybe you don't need to do this. I guess so. Quiet night in church, ain't it? Well, everybody else doing these couples outings, and I just want to go out and do the couples outings. Do couples outings too, so I'm gonna go find me somebody, and we're gonna go couples outings, go play miniature golf, and we're gonna, cause it looks so good, it looks great to have the couples outing, the two. You don't know how much he done scratched his face on the way to the couples outing. Love shifts. It's to develop you. Jesus sends them over, but they go through a storm because they're halfway across the sea, and that's when the storm comes. It's right when they got to the middle, because at the beginning of the relationship, everything is great. Bae, I'm so in love. You're my heartbeat. y'all let that line y'all heard Cicely Tyson tell y'all in Madea's family reunion that your hearts was beating at the same pace. Look here, man. Your heart don't beat according to how your blood pumps through your. That ain't got nothing to do with somebody else's heart beating. Don't y'all let Cicely and Tyler Perry get y'all in the world trouble because you checking everybody's heartbeat to see if it's just like yours. They get to the middle of it and trouble happens. But you've made a commitment. You've come too far to turn around. God got you out here in this. When you first came to God, you felt good. You looked at your hands looked good, looked at your feet. They did too. You had new members' orientation, members of the most. You felt good about yourself. You start coming to Bible study, you went to women's meeting, everything felt really good. I feel good about being Christian. You got on Facebook, you start posting scriptures. Going to give God some time. You felt really good, but you went to work. And they still lying on you. They're still setting you up. Still got an ungodly boss. Okay, but I still feel pretty good because I got baptized. And I feel pretty good because I had the juice and I had the cracker. And I feel pretty good because I done took the preacher's right hand. And I feel all right, but I don't understand why that happened. Keep on moving. Then I get home, children. When I had them, they were so pretty. So precious, I put that Johnson & Johnson on them and they just smell so great. Hold them close to my arms and I hold them tight and I love them. Everybody wanted to hold my precious baby. And somehow, some way, this thing has grown into the spawn of Satan. What is this monster that's got my name? But I gave God my life, so this ain't supposed to be happening. Because I'm the guy here in the middle now. And I got too far dealing with it. Now here come a storm. I wasn't expecting this storm. Where the storm come from? This ain't how it's supposed to be. My kids supposed to behave. My body ain't supposed to turn on me. Everything once was going up, now it's going down. Gravity. Look at all the amens I got right there, man. Don't nothing. I got up and I used to just spring up. Now I'm, Father God. Yeah, Lord. That's just getting out the car. Getting out of bed. That's just getting out of bed. Mess around and get on your knees and try to pray for you go to bed now. Lord, you just got to accept it now, Lord, because I can't get down. Ain't no guarantee I'm going to get back up, Lord. Because you ain't got in the middle and life start happening. Life happens. My grandma is working on that baby over there. She is beating that baby like, baby, please mind. Please. Please do what mama say. That's love right there, boy. My grandma was beating the baby. On the front pew, I mean, you can't hide that. I mean, that's right, baby. That's the baby. Bless her heart. That's it. That's love. See, I've been through that storm. I know God will bring you out. I'm a living witness here. He'll bring you out of that storm. Yes, he will. She done beat that baby senseless over there. I tried not to address it, but she just kept on. George trying not to look. Irene trying not to look. My goodness. still shifts you. That's still love. Didn't look like love, didn't feel like love, but that's love. Because she out there in the middle of it. Kayla made that decision. I'm going to go out there. And that's what happens when life happens. You didn't expect this stuff to happen. The storm comes. Contrary winds. Opposing forces start coming to you, and it didn't bother you till you got out there. And that's what happens with our walk with God. We weren't expecting, because we thought when I became a Christian, that I wanted to deal with nothing. When I really get serious with my God, stuff ain't going to happen to me. But it started happening. The devil started turning up the volume on you. He started amping up the power against you when you got serious about God. As long as you were just being a part-time Christian, you had a part-time devil. But when you became a full-time Christian, you had to start dealing with a full-time devil. He came at people you never thought he would do. Amen. Stuff you never thought would happen start happening. Folks turn on you, never thought would turn on you. I never thought I had to worry about that. But I got in this storm. How is this God's love? This is where you learn that love also shifts you, but love also shields you. Because you miss something. Jesus says, I'm going to a mountain. Love says, I'm going to a mountain to pray. Missed it. While you're going through a storm down here, your heavenly Father, your Savior, your big brother is on a mountain looking over your situation, praying and interceding for you. It's the picture of what he's doing even right now for us, that while we're here dealing with the storms of life, dealing with the storms of finances, dealing with the storms of health, dealing with the storms of divorce, dealing with the storm of fighting, dealing with the storm of just trying to make it, you got Jesus on the mountain who knew you were going to go through it. He's overseeing your situation. And he ain't going to let you go through nothing that he ain't going to bring you out of, because he's praying for you as you go through the storm. Can somebody tell the Lord thank you for about 10 seconds that, Lord, even though I'm going through it, I know you got watching angels watching out for me. You're not in this by yourself. He is overseeing your situation. Just because he ain't in the ship with you don't mean he ain't looking over you. And I thank God at that time that I don't see him with me. I know he's over me. Somebody tell the Lord thank you. That he's on the mountain presiding over your problem. Y'all, if y'all really understood that, y'all would be excited right now. That he knew you were going to go through it. That's why he went to the mountain and prayed for you as you go through it. So that means that love tests you, but love will never let you fail. Now, the longer your duration of being in the storm has got to do with how long it's going to take you to realize him. Until you learn the lesson, you're going to stay right in that storm. But the good news is, he's still on the mountain, overseeing it. Father, give him time. Father, don't let him give up. Father, give us strength. Father, give him peace. Father, give him power. Father, give him comfort. I know he don't like it, God. It breaks my heart to see him going through it. They're crying out, God. God, they're struggling with it, God. God, it's a big time issue. But I know, Father, that you got me in this position to intercede. You got me in this position to watch over them. I have got them covered. And somebody will tell the Lord that no matter what I go through, thank you, God, you got me covered. Can you tell somebody that next to you, neighbor, God got us covered. Somebody will say hallelujah in this place. Glory to God. He shields us. Love shields us. Love just ain't going to let us leave us out there exposed.
Amen, brother.
When you love somebody, you don't just set them up.
No.
How you love me ain't going to send me to damnation. How you love me and go let me go in foreclosure to try to teach me a lesson. No, that ain't what love does. Love covers you. Love prays for you. Love intercedes on your behalf. That's why you came to church today. That's why you came to the altar, those of you came, because you trust in the power of intercession. That even though I'm going through a storm, I can come to the altar and talk to the great intercessor, and I can believe that he's already going in my stead. He's going on my behalf to the Father, and I know I ain't no good, but I know he's all good, and God will do it not because of me, but God will do it because of him. Glory. Glory. He shields us. That's what love does. While they're out there in the storm, the winds are contrary. The wind has gotten boisterous. The wind is stuff you can't see. Amen. The waves is what you can see. And the wind got the waves acting up. Y'all missed it. If you ain't careful, you'll start tripping on the waves. But the waves ain't doing nothing. It's the wind causing the waves. You better stop trying to get people told and learn how to get that spirit told. It's not the people that's your problem. It's the spirit in the people. It's the wind got them acting up. It's the devil got them clowning. It's evil got them acting like that. So I don't want to get rid of you. I want to get rid of that wind that's contrary in you. Because guess what, y'all? You still need water to sail on. So I can't ask God to eliminate the waves, because if I eliminate the waves, I can't make progress. And that's why some of you are stuck in the mud, because you didn't ask God to remove people who are meant to be a blessing to you. But until you learn the lesson that it's not about the person, it's the spirit in person, you're going to still be stuck in the sea. And the waves were breaking, going against the ship, rocking it, rocking your life, upsetting your life. And it's the stuff you can see that you think is the problem. It's not so much the man, it's who the man made his God. That's why Paul didn't say don't be unequally yoked with a person. You missed it. Because guess what? Paul understood, even though he didn't want to marry, Paul understood that human relationship that you want is not good for man to be alone. Two are better than one. So he says it's not that you ought not seek a male companionship, sister, or a female companionship, brother. He says, but don't be seeking out unbelievers. Because when you hook up with an unbeliever, they got a different wind than you got. You want to pray, they want to go gamble. And if you ain't careful, you'll give in to the contrary wind, and you'll go gamble during prayer meeting. And then he'll use that Bible you talk about against you. And don't believe in the God of the Bible. Don't the Bible say honor your husband? And because you didn't understand the wind that was pushing him. Boy, you out there now, ain't you? You didn't understand. You went on and got with them. And wonder why there's so much chaos in the home. Because you got contrary winds you sleeping with. Ain't nothing wrong with the wave. It's that wind that's pushing him. It's that wind that's pushing her. Ain't no shouting now either. So often we look at the waves and don't look at the wind. What drives you? What is your motivation? That's how you'll learn about people. It's the wind. What is their intent with you? Quiet now, man. Love shields us. Then, y'all, when you're out there in the storm, they start crying out. Fourth watch of the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. Fourth watch, the darkest time, and you out there stuck in a storm. Good news about love, love will still show up. Love shows up. But you missed it. Love could have showed up before you went. But love want to see how much you love love. And some of us are so stubborn. Help me, Holy Ghost. Some of us are so prideful. Help me, Holy Ghost. Stand with me. You said if I stand for you, you'll stand with me. Some of y'all are so prideful that you're dealing with a storm that could change your, that's rocking your life right now,